Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, everyone. We are studying the book of Nehemiah. And so please turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 11. We have already covered the first three verses of Nehemiah chapter 1 when we had the introduction in the previous meeting together. But I would like to read the whole chapter, including those three verses today for our ministry meeting together. So please follow me. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and a certain man of Judea, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgment which thou commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word which thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. This is the end of Nehemiah chapter 1. You know, when we are sitting in such a setting, willing to be together as brothers and sisters under the sound of the Word of God. It is a real privilege. It always reminds me of past history of our own people, the people of Israel, whether in the days of Moses, whether in the day of Joshua, or whether in the days of the time of the prophets of Israel, where those who wanted from among the people of Israel to listen to the Word of God, God found joy in his heart and he blessed his own people. You know what Malachi, the last prophet of Israel, said? Listen to this statement in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi was preaching actually in the time when the Jewish remnant returned from Babel under the leadership of Nehemiah. Malachi was the last prophet. Nehemiah was the last one who gave us the restored remnant of Israel back to the land. Malachi said in chapter 3 and verse 16, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I will make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." You see, when Malachi wrote his prophecy, he wrote to the remnant of Israel who returned through Nehemiah, the last portion, you might say, of the Old Testament. And now Nehemiah is the one that is teaching us great lessons, beloved brothers and sisters. This book of Nehemiah can help us in ministry, in service among the body of Messiah, when there are so many problems and so many discouragement and so many disappointments. And when you look at the condition of the body of Messiah and we see how failing we are part of this body, the ecclesia. Just the same like Nehemiah was looking at the condition of the people of Israel in those days, and he himself needed encouragement and strength from the Lord in order to be a blessing to the people of God. And now let me just remind you, and I'm going to go to this text once again. We have seen the reason that the people of Israel were in Babylon in the time when Nehemiah was writing his book, and he was exercised to come to serve the people of Israel. You remember what we said, beloved brothers and sisters, that because of our own nation disobedience, God scattered the Jewish people. He brought Nebuchadnezzar and he took the people of Judah to Babylon. In fact, in 606 or 605 BC, it was the first deportation of the Jewish people from Judea, from Jerusalem, into the land of Babel. 597 will be the second deportation. 586 BC will be the third deportation. And then finally, the temple was destroyed, burnt with fire. The Jewish people were in Babel for 70 years. 70 years later, there was a restoration of the Jewish people. In 538 BC, Zerubbabel led a group of 50,000 Jews back to the city of Jerusalem. In 457, Ezra led a second group back to the promised land. About 1,500 Jewish people returned to the land. But now, at about 444 or 445 BC, Nehemiah leads the third return to the promised land. But this time, Nehemiah was not so much leading the group of the Jewish people back to the land to rebuild the temple, because the temple was already built. But there was a problem, because even though the temple was rebuilt, the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And that's where we read, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 1, 2, and 3, that Nehemiah inquired about the condition that existing in the city of Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. And this man by the name of Hanani told him in verse 3, they said to him two things. Number one, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in that province are in great affliction and reproach. This is the Jewish people. Yes, they are in the land, but they have a lot of affliction, a lot of reproach, a lot of problems in their lives. Secondly, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. When Nebuchadnezzar took the Jewish people, our own forefathers, to Babel, he destroyed the city completely. He burned the temple with fire. He took all the articles from the temple with him to Babel, and he left everything in a desolation. When the Jewish people came back with Zerubbabel and with Ezra, they rebuilt the temple on a smaller scale, but they still did not build the walls of the city and the gates that were burnt with fire. And walls and gates in biblical time speaks of, number one, protection, and number two, separation. Walls in biblical time protected the people from their enemies from without and also kept them separated from the enemies that would want to come in and influence them with all their idolatries and all that which is contrary to the will of God. And so, if we just for a moment going to see another slide, and you look at the second slide, I want you to notice that. In the second slide, you see the four kingdoms that really represent before us the times of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles began at about 605 BC. And if you remember the dream that Daniel had of this image, and in this image he saw that was, you might say, divided into four sections. He saw the head of gold, the chest of silver, the thighs of bronze, and the legs and the feet of metal and clay. It's a representation of what we called in New Testament teaching the times of the Gentile. Etot Hagoyim. It began in 605 BC when Nebuchadnezzar was the one as the head of gold, and it will only end up, we are still in the time of the Gentiles, when the Messiah himself will come and rule and reign over the nation of Israel as King of Kings and over the nations of the world as Lord of Lords, Melech HaMlachim and Adon HaAdonim. By the time that Nehemiah was seeking to be restored to the land of Israel because of the condition that existed, the broken walls and the burnt gates, he was living in the time of the Medo-Persian. He was under the authority of the Persian kings. That was the time that Cyrus gave permission to Zerubbabel to go back to the land. That was the time that later on Ezra received permission to go back to the land. And this is the time when now Nehemiah get permission to go back to the land of Israel and to the city of Jerusalem. So now I want you to see some beautiful reaction of this man of God by the name of Nehemiah. To remind you that the word Nehemiah simply means the comfort of Jehovah, the comfort of the Lord. By virtue of his name, you see the tenderness of his heart towards the people of God. He wanted to comfort the people of God. He wanted to bless the people of God. He was not selfish, thinking only about himself, but he loved God's people. And you and I are called to love the people of God. We are to love Israel, to love the Jewish people, but we are also to love the brethren, to love the believers, Jew and Gentile alike, who are part of the body of Mashiach. We are to love the brethren, even though at times we are not always lovable, beloved brothers and sisters. So in verses 1 and verse 2 and verse 3, in our introduction, we have already seen the sad news that Nehemiah received about the city of Jerusalem. Let me just make two more points before we're going to go to verses 4 to the end of the chapter. I would like to remind you that Jerusalem is a very important city. It was important in the past, and it is important in the present, and it will be important in the future day. Why Jerusalem, is very important? Because God's name was set in that city. In fact, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, and there you will notice what God said to Moshe about the city of Jerusalem. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come." Before our people enter into the promised land, he said to them, listen, there is a place in which I will put my name there. Even before Israel enter into the land of Canaan, God have already prepared the people of Israel for that place. It is a literal location in this universe, namely the city of Jerusalem. Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy and verse 16 elaborate a little bit more. And God said to Israel, three times a year shall all your males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And he gave Israel, our forefathers, the three feasts. Unleavened bread, Chag HaMatzot, weeks, Shavuot, and Tabernacle, Sukkot. The three feasts in which the people of Israel were to go to the promised land, the city of Jerusalem, and celebrate before him those famous three feasts. Because his name is upon that city. Thirdly, I want you to notice that this city is a city which God's eyes are always upon that city. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter 7, God mentioned this to King Solomon. Listen, mine eyes are always upon that city. That's why you see that everybody in the world today fighting over that very city of Jerusalem. Constant friction, even today. It was in the past, it is in the present, and it will be in the future until the Messiah will come to take his rightful place as the king of the Jewish people, the king of our own nation. God's eyes are always upon this place. He always watching over the city of Jerusalem. Number three, I would like to mention here about the city of Jerusalem, is that this city is called in the Bible in Psalm 48 and verses 1 and 2, the city of the great king. In other words, for the name Jerusalem is Zion, or in Hebrew, Zion. Jerusalem and Zion is really the same location. The city that belongs to the great king. The Mashiach, the King Messiah, will reign and rule from the city of Jerusalem. And that's why Yeshua in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34 and 35 says not to make any oath using the city of Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Not to swear by it carelessly. This is the city that belonged to the great king, to the Messiah himself, to God himself. And also, beloved brothers and sisters, over this city, in Luke chapter 13 and chapter 19, we just read it earlier in our Bible reading, over this city Yeshua wept. And you remember how the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long would I have gathered you as a hen gather her chicks, but ye would not?" And that's why he said, "Your house shall be left unto you desolate," and so on. And what happened up till today, the house, the temple, is still in desolation. Our Jewish people are still scattered. And here we find, even before that, that there were already scattered people. And therefore, Yeshua the Messiah loved the city, and he's planning one day to reign over the city of Jerusalem. But here you can see the heart of Nehemiah. And now in Nehemiah from chapter 1, from verse 4, all the way to the end, we find the reaction of Nehemiah when he heard of the sad news about the fact that Jerusalem, the gates are burnt and the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. What do you think he did? We find out in verse 4, it says here, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down, and I wept, and I mourned for certain days, and I fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven." You see what Nehemiah did? The moment he heard about the condition of the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish people, he did not say, "Well, never mind, you know, maybe it's their own fault, maybe there was something wrong with them." And so Nehemiah took to heart the state of the people of God. It was so grieving to him that we have five expressions here in this verse 4. "I sat down, I wept, I mourned, I fasted, and I prayed." Sitting down is an expression of mourning. In Hebrew, we read ve'yashavti. It's like sitting down, so discouraged to hear of what was going on among the people of God, the people of Israel. And he finds himself weeping. In Hebrew, we say ve'bachiti, and I wept. It was so heavy for him to hear about the condition of the people of God that he wept. How similar he was to our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that when Yeshua saw the city afar off, he wept over the city. We read it in the Gospel of Luke. He was so concerned and so much in love with the city and the people of Israel, but the condition of the people of Israel produced in his own heart a desire to mourn for them, to weep on behalf of the people of God. Notice the word in verse 4, "and I mourned." This is when someone died and you mourn over the death of an individual. That's why the Hebrew word is lehit abel. I mean, I really mourn as if were this person died, as if the nation in a state of death. Then the next thing he said, "then I fasted." He denied himself of that which was necessary for his body because he was so concerned with the people of Israel. And the fifth thing we find out, that he prayed. Now this is becoming for us such a great example, beloved brothers and sisters, that here's a man that has a concern over the people of God. Sometimes I'm wondering about myself, about you, about the believers. How much concern do we have for the people of God? And we are now not so much by application, we are applying it to the body of Messiah. You know, those of us that belong to Yeshua the Messiah, how much do we care and have this kind of attitude towards the people of God? You see, it reminds us of the condition that existing in the days in which you and I live in. The gates are burnt with fire. The walls are broken into pieces. There is very little of preservation of the truth of the Word of God. The gates represent an entrance inside and going out. And how many things have been creeping in among the people of God, things that are not sound and are not right. And then the gates and the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. Anybody could come in. And everybody could go out, and there was no protection for the nation. So what Nehemiah does, he's sitting down, he's weeping before the Lord, he's mourning before the Lord, he's fasting, denying himself the necessary things for the body, and he's ultimately begin to pray. Now, we often talk about revival. If there will ever be a revival, any place, revival does not begin by making a sign and saying, "you know what, we have a special revival meeting." That is not where revival began. Revival began in the hearts of individuals who have such a yearning for the things of the Lord and have a desire to be a blessing to God's people and to honor the Lord. That's where revival began. Nehemiah give us an example on how to begin a revival. And you look at it throughout as well, the assembly history, the church history, just like the history of the people of God. If you look in the history of the body of Messiah, you will notice that there was a period of time in which revival came through because there were some individuals that were burdened in their own hearts and their conscience for the people of God. And here we see Nehemiah weeping, mourning, fasting, sitting on the floor, and praying. And you notice what it says here? I prayed before the God of heaven. In Hebrew, it's Elohei HaShamayim. Now, why doesn't he say the God of Israel here? Now, again, if you look at this chart one more time, and I would like to remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that in that time when Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel and Daniel were in Babel, they were a part of what you call the times of the Gentiles. God, in a sense, have turned the headship and the leadership over all the world to the Gentiles nations, to the Goyim. It began with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and it continued on through the Persians, then the Grecians, and then the Roman Empire, that even when the Messiah came to this world, when Yeshua came, who was Israel under the authority of? They were under the Roman Empire. The Jewish people did not have their own liberties that they should have had, had they submitted to the Word of God. So that's why you notice he used this expression here in that chapter, I prayed before the God of heaven. Notice in verse 5, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.